Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's O'Neill Outside on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's
Good morning, boys and girls. O'Neill. This is O'Neill Outside, Realtree Radio. My name is Dakota Russell. I'm filling in this morning for O'Neill. O'Neill and woman Williams are out of town this weekend. So I'm filling in, talking a little deer hunting, talking a little bit of fishing. We've got to go over a few things this morning, some safety stuff, some terminology. We'll get to the terminology here soon. I know a lot of guys are waiting on that. I've also got some quick little tips I'll give you here at the end. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go over the radio prize package. So let me give you the telephone number so you can give us a call and give us the correct answer and win this prize package. In the Atlanta calling area, the telephone number is 404-872-0750. Outside of the Atlanta area, the telephone number is 800-972-8255. The radio prize package is going to have all types of stuff. There are a few things that I have to let you know before I tell you what's in the prize package. The rules here are that you cannot have won the prize package before and that you must be over 18 years old or 18 or older. The prize package is going to have a FireAid fire extinguisher, a Realtree hat and decal, a big green accessory fire wire skewers, Lifestyle Magazine, Wild Game of Fish cookbook, a 2017 fishing game forecast, the Georgia DNR Regulations Magazine, the latest edition of the Angler Magazine, as well as the Dude Magazine. Two tickets to the Go Fish Education Center in Perry, Georgia. A Georgia DNR hat. Georgia State's Park and Historic Sites Guide. One can of Fisher's Choice Wax Worms. One can of Fisher's Choice Crickets or Shrimp. Four packets of Bug Band Wipes. And a bottle of Cloak Scent Free Clothes Wash from Timbuktu's. It's a lot of good stuff right there, whether you hunt or fish. So the question to win the prize package that I just explained to you is going to be, where did O'Neill graduate from college? One tip here is that O'Neill's college this year is undefeated this season. So the question again is, where did O'Neill graduate from college? Give us a call. Numbers are 404-872-0750 in the Atlanta area. If you're outside of the Atlanta area, the telephone number is 800-972-8255. You're listening to Realtree Radio, and we'll be right back. Good morning, boys and girls. You're listening to O'Neill Outside Realtree Radio. My name is Dakota Russell. I'm filling in for O'Neill this morning. O'Neill and woman Williams are out having a little vacation, going to a concert in Missouri this weekend. So we're talking deer hunting. We're going over some terminology, rubs, scrapes, some vocalizations that deer make, some of the stuff and the sign you'll see in the woods, some small little tips that you should think about that'll help you out this fall. It'll help you out right now, really, during the rut, whether it's checking your trail cameras, whether it's hunting funnels or checking the weather, trying to figure out what dates you're going to plan to take off of work. And it'll help you out regardless of where you're at in the country. Doesn't matter if you're in the Deep South, Midwest, or if you're hunting out in Colorado or even up in Idaho for whitetails. We're pretty much talking hunting and weather in terms that that will work for anywhere that you hunt deer. So that being said, we're going to go and give some of the terms here that we're going to go over and a few of the little details that you'll go over, like rubs, scrapes, lip curling, vocalizations, grunts, bleats, posturing, like posturing when you see a buck lay his ears back. First, I think we're going to go get a call from, or a report from Mac Farr. We're going to get the Hayes Ram Fishing Report from Mac Farr. Good morning, Mac. How's it going? I guess Mac's not with us anymore. We'll try to get Mac here in a few minutes and get your fishing report for Lake Lanier. I know we've got a few guys that want to talk deer hunting, so we'll get Bill here. Bill's been on the line with us, wants to talk deer calls. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm calling in. I got a question for you. I was faced with a situation one time, and I was going to see how you would have handled it. I had tracked in about, felt like 200 yards, but it really about 10 yards in the woods. Mm-hmm. And I got to the stand, did not have my call. What I think was the peak time of the rut, a deer came. What would you have done in that situation? How would you have made a call with your mouth? I didn't know what to do. I was freaking out, and it was a good deer.
So you couldn't get a shot? I'm not sure I understand the situation. Was it not close enough? Were you wanting to get it closer to you?
I was wanting him to come on in a little bit. I had him at about 60 yards. I needed him at about 5.
Oh, I got you. Good luck. No, I'd really and truly, I don't call to many deer if they're that close. I would honestly rather see a buck walk just out of sight, get to 80 or 100 yards, and then make a call. I have made the mistake to call at a deer that was that close, and it typically doesn't work. If you could see the deer can see you. That means that the deer can see where the call is coming from. If he doesn't see a deer standing there, I can guarantee you that deer is probably not going to come to you. So I would have let the deer walk off, and then I would have just tried to make a call with my mouth. If it's a good buck and it's during the rut or any time in the fall, I will snort wheeze at it, and typically I'll have a buck come to me if it's a mature deer.
And I wish I would have talked to you beforehand. I had him when he got right there and he stopped. I was going to do a snort wheeze, and I went like that.
There you go.
Across the field, I think I ventriloquished my voice, and he went the opposite way.
I hear you. We'll do a little practicing there, and you might do a little better next time.
Yeah, I will with your tips. I appreciate it.
I hear you. All right, Bill. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right, we've got Mac on the line here. Good morning, Mac.
Hello, Dakota. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. You got me wanting to go out on the lake.
There, brother.
Well, thank you, sir. How's the fishing?
This has been pretty good, actually, given that we're in the heart of turnover. I would say it's better than average. The problem this time of year, Dakota, when the lake's turning over, and you've got water conditions that are volatile and changing. The lake temperature is also in the low 60s, which is a good number. You can have fish shallow, but you have some deep. It tends to scatter everybody out through the water column. So you really need to be versed. A lot of stuff going on there. But with that being said, all in all, it's pretty good. With the stripers, I think our best pattern is a lot of schooling fish. And you almost have to have it takes a lot of patience because you have to move till you see them. And, you know, you have a lot of places where they're not. But if you ride around till you see them, that pattern's been good. They're fairly catchable. You can cast a small bucktail at them. You can cast a Spill Magic Swimmer's been good. Mm-hmm. Activity's actually been very strong late in the day. So kind of contrary to what a lot of people think.
No kidding. So are they main lake? Or are they up in the creeks or what?
Most of the schooling activity's main lake. Mm-hmm. You may see it on any part of the lake, too. It's not confined to one end or the other. And the best way to find that is literally just get up, get your boat on plane, ride around, look in the creek. If you don't see them, ride around, go to the next creek. It's a matter of movement more than anything.
You just got to burn gas to catch them, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. If you willing to burn the gas, you'll find them. That's the drawback with that pattern.
So are they still on thread fins?
Yeah, most of them are locked in on threads, and you have to watch that with these schoolers because when they get on the threads, sometimes if you don't match the hatch, you throw the bigger baits in there, they won't respond to them.
So yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up because they really, and we're talking about threads, a lot of them are real small, you know, 2.5-inch baits. And as big as a striper is, it's basically, our lake is the apex predator, I guess, but he doesn't know that always, and he can be remarkably finicky. And that size thing, they're like a trout in that regard. They'll lock into something specific. And if you're not locked in with them, you still get the bite. So remember that if you're going to the lake today.
Yeah, and there are a lot of little swim baits. Like there's a small little Spro, I think, little 2-inch swim bait that Spro makes. The smallest Magic Swimmer, I guess, is what you're talking about, that you would throw out.
Most guys are throwing the 4.5, but they make the little Magic Swimmer is a really good bait, and it does match up better.
Mm-hmm.
So small, a little bucktail always does well. And small spoons, a Flexit spoon or something like a little Pleo.
Uh-huh.
And the nice thing about small spoons is they're small in size and they match the hatch, but their density and they're so compact you can cast them a long
exactly,
way.
Yeah.
Punch a hole in the wind with them too if you need to. So.
Exactly. So are you seeing that the fish come up and are going down fairly quick, or are they staying up enough to where you see them you could probably get to them?
Somewhere in the middle.
Really? Depends.
Yeah, when you see them, you don't need to don't wait too long. You need to get to them and get a bait in the water because they're. And it varies from day to day. Sometimes they're a little more relaxed. But the best advice I can give you there is when you see them, assume that they're getting ready to go down.
Okay.
And then get over there and get a bait in the water. And if you're lucky, they stay up and you get a second or third shot at them.
There you go. Well, that's some of the fun fishing right there. Now, if you get to them and you can actually get a bait in the water at them, that's a blast.
Yeah, you've seen it. It's exciting. I mean, it's cool to see. And you might pull up on a group of fish, you know, bunches of fish. And you can physically watch them busting that bait. And that's pretty visual. That's pretty fun to watch. So I don't think that ever gets old.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Awesome. Well, I need to get out there with you sometime soon, for sure.
You do. We need to get out there and shoot some video. Who knows? We may even take Travis, Rode, and Neil. I don't know about
maybe. I don't know. I think me and Travis can go out there and catch them.
I know you guys can catch them. I've seen you do it.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Well, thanks, Mac. I appreciate the update there, and I'm sure that everybody else does as well.
Yep. Well, everybody get out there. Be safe. It's a beautiful day. I think a little breezy maybe, but we got some weather pushing in tonight. If the fish got the memo, they should really bite today. So
there you go. Sounds good. Well, we'll talk to you soon, Mac.
Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend. Everybody be safe out there.
All right. Same to you, Mac. That's some of the best fishing you could ever have. I believe we've got a winner here that thinks he's going to get the radio prize package. Let's see if Rick has the correct answer. Rick, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Rick, so do you know where O'Neill graduated from college?
Emory University.
You've got it. You are the winner. We're going to get all your information. It could take a week or two to get your stuff, but you've got a bunch of stuff coming, so just expect it, okay?
All right, I'm excited. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Rick. You nailed it. So we appreciate it, and you have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
Excellent. So some of the tips we're going to get to here after we come back from break are going to be terminology from deer, some of the weather patterns you may look for, some of the stuff that you may hear in deer camp that may be myth, may not be myth. We'll go over that soon, and you're listening to Real... Good morning, boys and girls. You're listening to O'Neill Outside Real Tree Radio. My name is Dakota Russell. I'm filling in for O'Neill this weekend. O'Neill and Woman Williams are actually out of town at a concert this weekend. So I get to talk to you about some deer hunting, some tips, some strategies that have worked for me. We're going to go over some terminology that you may hear in deer camp and may or may not understand, or you may think that certain things are myth. We'll go over... some of the things that have worked for me in the past and some of the tips that you typically won't read about, some of the simple things that you may forget. I know that a lot of guys have been waiting on the terminology such as rubs, scrapes, and the vocalizations, the terms that people use when they talk about vocalizations that deer use and what they mean whenever they hear them or whenever they actually make them with their own calls. So I know that a lot of people have walked through the woods before, and they've looked at a tree, and they typically know what a rub is. A rub is where a buck will rub a tree with the base of his antlers, and it'll typically rub the bark off the tree. And most guys think, you know, the bigger the tree, the bigger the buck. Or big bucks only rub big trees, or small bucks only rub small trees, vice versa. So I've seen rubs the size of my thigh. And I've watched a 4-point rub that tree. Now, I'm not saying that the tree was completely wore out by that 4-pointer, because I don't believe that. But there's also some rubs that are called signposts. Signposts are rubs that are typically out west. You'll find more signposts, or in the Midwest, you'll find more signposts than you will in the east or the southeast. The signpost is sometimes actually just that. It could be a fence post, an old fence post that doesn't have barbed wire on it anymore. And it's simply nothing other than a signpost. I've even seen does rub their head on it. So what a rub really is a place for deer to leave their scent. It's a communication post, not a territorial post, not a territorial anything really, because there's nothing that is territorial about it. It's only to communicate through glands and the scent that comes through the glands. And just know that when you see a small rub, that it isn't always a small buck. I have seen really big deer. I've seen 140, 150, 160 inch deer rub a sapling that's the size of your finger, and I mean just tear it to shreds. And I've also seen a four-pointer do that. So it merely means nothing to me when I see a rub. Now, if I see a big tree that is really worn out and has a lot of bark that's wore out and it's high, up high, if it's like starts at your waist and goes up, it's typically not going to be a small deer. It's something you should start looking into, or you should at least look into that area, not necessarily that particular tree. And don't always assume that that particular buck is going to come back and hit that tree again. So just know that when you're in the woods looking at trees that have been rubbed, and you know, a lot of rubs are done prior to the rut. Bucks typically aren't rubbing too many trees. They're not using or laying their scent from their glands on their forehead on a lot of trees right now, just because it is the rut in most areas of the country. They are using scrapes, but you will notice that you have a lot of scrapes that are starting to have a lot of leaf build up in them. Don't count them out as scrapes that have just completely been abandoned. Bucks will make their rounds. Their round may be once a week. They'll come back, they'll clean their scrape out, and they're not doing it for a territorial reason. They're doing it as a communication site. I've seen scrapes that were the size of the hood of a truck before. I've seen them one after another down the side of a field. That's not one buck leaving that. That's many bucks. I've had trail cameras on those scrapes. I've watched three or four bucks do those scrapes at one time. It's nothing other than a buck that's rubbing his. It's the same gland on their forehead and right at their tear duct and at their eye that they're rubbing on the limb of the branch that is hanging over the scrape that you see. And typically you won't find a scrape unless there is a branch that they will lick and rub their forehead. So there's four different glands that they can actually use to put their scent on that licking branch, as you would call it. The way that I tell if a scrape is being used is obviously if it's clean and there's no leaves in the scrape, it's being used. If you see a wet spot in that scrape, it's been used recently. That means that a buck, it could be a doe, a deer in general has urine in that scrape within 24 hours. That means that there are deer in the area, of course. So that's one sign. As far as how big the scrape is, typically from my experience, I've noticed that bigger scrapes are in areas where there are more deer. The deer density is higher and there are a lot of deer using one scrape, or that's a transition area where deer may be coming from bed to feed. They spend time in that area. A lot of deer cross in that spot. It's a good spot to put a trail camera up or even a deer stand, although most of your scrapes are done during nocturnal hours. So even 1 o'clock in the morning seems to me to be one of the most popular times that deer use scrapes. But putting a trail camera there will tell you what deer are frequenting the area, whether it's, you know, big deer, big buck, a lot of does, whatever it may be. And don't think a doe won't use a scrape. A doe will use a scrape, and a doe will urinate in a scrape, and a buck will check that to see if there's a hot doe in the area. So although most bucks are using the scrapes 85-90% during the middle of the night, if a hot doe has been to that scrape, that buck will come by there during the daylight. I can guarantee it. So always check those scrapes, try to see what's going on. But when they start filling up, when the leaves start filling up those scrapes, you know that there may be deer in the area. That doesn't mean they're gone at all. It just means that they aren't looking for a particular doe. They probably have does that they know are going to be in heat soon. So stay in the area, but I highly recommend using trail cameras on scrapes. It's really the only way that I use a scrape for any type of scouting. There are a few different things here as far as posturing goes. You know, some of the things that you'll see a deer do that will alert you that there are other deer in the area is, you know, obviously if a deer is feeding in a food plot and it picks its head up and its ears are forward and it's looking in an area that's not towards you, typically means that something is coming out. I'll watch their tail then. If their tail stays down or if their tail flickers, I can almost guarantee you every time it's going to be a deer. If it's a doe, it's hard to tell exactly what the deer may be. But if their tail comes up, it's probably not a deer. Or it's a big buck and they've been chased by that buck all day. But that's typically whenever I see a doe posture in some way. But if I'm watching a buck posture, or if there's a buck in front of me and he's feeding or just walking by, and he just looks like a normal buck walking, and all of a sudden his back starts to turn colors and the deer starts to look bigger, what the deer is doing, he's actually bristling up. The deer is lifting the hair on his back. He'll typically lay his ears back or pin his ears back, as some people would say. He'll lay his ears back and drop his head down. That means that he's just being aggressive. He is being territorial at that point. That's really the only time you'll notice that a deer is going to be territorial. And it's not going to be on any type of signposts or any type of markers like scrapes. It's usually only actually body postures that will be territorial. And it doesn't always mean there's going to be a fight all of a sudden. It could just be a small buck was walking down the same trail, and the younger buck is going to look at that deer and notice that his ears are pinned back, and, you know, I'm not sure I want to mess with that, and he'll either go around him or he'll turn around and run off. That's one of the key things that I look at.
This is a traffic red alert from the WSB 24-Hour Traffic Center.
We're still dealing with red alerts in two spots. First in Fulton County, been going on for about 3 hours. That one's at 285 eastbound, right at 85. All travel lanes are currently blocked with a crash investigation, but we're watching the WSB jam cam. We see traffic is inching by on the right shoulder. Please use caution. They expect to clear that within the next 10 minutes or so. And out in 400 from northbound in Forsyth County, Peachtree Parkway, that's Highway 141. All lanes remain blocked there for about 3 hours. Another crash investigation. Good news, though, we're not seeing any major delays because traffic is being diverted off at McFarland Parkway. We'll keep you updated. Traffic brought to you by the Lung Cancer Foundation of America. If you or someone you know has lung cancer, the Bonnie J. Addario Lung Cancer Foundation can help. Text lungs to 50555 to help fund the research needed to fight a cure. Go to lungcancerfoundation.org for more information. Milani Kai, WSB.
Atlanta area, the telephone number is 404-872-0750. Outside of the Atlanta area, the telephone number is 800-972-8255. We're covering a lot of different techniques, a lot of different things you may see in the woods, a lot of different terms that you'll hear in deer hunting camp. Some of them are myth, some of them aren't. One of the biggest ones is, you know, only big bucks or big bucks don't make small rubs. That's one of the ones I remember growing up. It's like, you know, there's small rubs in here. There's just nothing but small bucks. There's no need to hunt here. After hunting many years, I learned that is totally incorrect. So never count out some of the sign that you see. But let us know how the rut is going. Give us your rut report. Let us know how it's going. Let us know what we need to be doing. Let us know what's worked for you, whether it was your trail cameras, whether it was your calls, or whether it was just the temperature of that day, the barometric pressure. Let us know what it was that worked for you this fall or has been working for you over the past few weeks. You're listening to Realtree Radio. We're going to go to a short break here. We'll be right back. We're going to talk some deer hunting tips. Good morning, boys and girls. You're listening to O'Neill Outside, Realtree Radio. My name is Dakota Russell. I'm filling in for O'Neill this morning. O'Neill and Woman Williams are out of town. They actually went to a concert this weekend out in Missouri. So I'm here with you. I'm going to talk a little deer hunting, some tips. Tips on how to stay warm this fall. Got some cooler temperatures coming in. After Thanksgiving, it seems it really starts to drop down. A lot of guys go in the woods, too. So hopefully some of these tips will help you out. We're going to cover some other tips, not just about staying warm, but some just general hunting tips on hunting during the rut. You know, whether it's pre-rut, depending upon your area, mid-rut, or post-rut. Most of these will help you out regardless of where you're at in the country. If you've had anything help you out recently, whether you've seen deer, whether it helped you see a lot of deer, harvest a deer, whether it's helped you with your trail cameras, certain areas you've found that work well to put your trail cameras, give us a call. Let us know what's working for you. If you're in the Atlanta area, call us at 404-872-0750. If you're outside of the Atlanta area, give us a call at 800-972-8255. We've got a caller here that wants to talk a little fishing on the Chattahoochee River. Let's talk to Chip. Good morning, Chip.
Hey, how you doing, Dakota?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, great. I just did a week-long experiment from last weekend to I'm actually on the way to go fishing now. The trout, it seems, from Georgia 20 Bridge all the way down between Settles and Jones, all those three places I go. I just wanted to share that anything dark and olive.
Okay.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
So what are we using?
We're using, like, I'll use a nymph, like a number... a number 14 mm-hmm. around there, and make a mini streamer, and then with another nymph hook, run it through the barb,
yep.
and make a like an articulated fly, I guess.
Exactly.
And run just a bodied nymph behind it, and just let them drift back. And every time it drifts back, they hit it on the back when it gets in the current. Just
really
pass it by any rock, anything, but work that spot for about 10-15 minutes, and then I move.
Okay.
I bounce around. But definitely hook the two flies together instead of using the traditional dropper.
Uh-huh.
I found, I just did it by accident. I had two of my ugliest flies, and I said, you know what? I put them together, and I said, well, this is like a big bushy streamer. And in the water, the tail wagged because the hook is, you know, free-pulling on the hoop, on the bend.
It's got a hinge there.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Could not believe that the amount of trout I caught last weekend and all week.
Wow, like, that is odd. That is not one that I would have tried myself. I would... honestly, the first thing that I thought of whenever you started explaining, I was like, well, why don't you just use like a woolly booger or something? But I don't know. I mean,
yes, yeah, it's very, I tie my own fly. So basically I'm tying a small streamer looking fly on a small hook, making it bushy in the front and then hook.
You got
it
a lot
up,
more like, movement.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, it's disgustingly real when it's in the water.
Wow. That's unbelievable. That looks like, I'm sure that most people would look at that and think, are you serious? What are you thinking?
Well, see, I used to offshore fish for a living. So when you kingfish, you run stinger rigs.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't yet to try putting, I don't like using treble hooks because, you know, I've released most of the trout. I only use a few.
Of course.
You know, that same theory, like a rooster tail with the, you know, the treble hook in the back, you could hook one to the small streamer nymph thingy that I tie, and it works great. I mean, clear water, I've stuck with, like, ice olive dubbing, dark bodies, coffee, black, and it's been unbelievable all week. Dirty water, cold. I was out last weekend when it was freezing.
Wow. And the pattern hasn't changed.
I have not had a – I'm, like, scared to even tie a different color. That's how bad it is.
I bet. So, excellent. Well, that is probably one of the best tips that I think that anybody could hear on the show today. That's for sure, especially if they're going to the Hooch.
Yeah, they're going. I mean, olive ice dubbing and olive black, brown coffee colors, all that crap's been working all week long.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate that, and I need to get on the water and see if I can give it a try myself.
All right,
thank you,
good
Chip,
luck.
And you have a great weekend.
You have a great weekend. Thank you.
Wow, that's a new one. I've never thought of that. But hey, give it a try. I'm sure it'll work. If it works for him, it'll work for you. Don't forget that Realtree is partnering up with O'Neill and a lot of his other sponsors, and they're doing a Realtree Santa Claus giveaway this fall. It's going to happen just before Christmas, and I'll give you a list of the prizes here. They're going to give away a CVA Realtree Wolf 50 caliber muzzleloader, autographed by O'Neill himself, 2017 Monster Bucks DVD, signed by Bill Jordan, a supply of Fisher's Choice canned baits, Realtree camouflage hat signed by Bill Jordan and David Blanton, O'Neill Outside Cookbook, a bottle of Real Magic, a bottle of Sergeant Brooks barbecue sauce, a bottle of Cloak scent-free clothes wash, a supply of bug bands, wipes, and spray. Won't help you right now, but it'll help you out this spring and summer coming up. So there's also one unit of FireAid 2000. FireAid 2000 is something that everybody needs in their house. I've got one in my truck just because you never know what you may see on the side of the road, whether it's just a small little brush fire, somebody's car on fire. You just never know. You need to have something like that on hand and know where it is. Don't have it stashed under a bunch of stuff that you can never get to it and let somebody's car burn down because you were too lazy to know where your fire extinguisher was. So keep a FireAid 2000 handy. It's a small enough bottle where you can simply slide it in the cab of your truck. Or put it in your toolbox, but don't put it under a bunch of stuff in your toolbox. Also know that you need to get your AJC, your Sunday AJC this weekend, and you'll get you in-depth news and coverage, plus over $400 in coupon savings. A couple of tips we're going to go over to keep you warm this winter, or this fall, late fall, during the late season. Before you know it, it's going to be December here. It's unbelievable how fast November has gone by. And a lot of guys have problems staying in the woods. That's one of the biggest things and probably my number one tip. And I struggle with it just like everybody else does. The number one tip this fall or this rut or any time you're hunting is stay in the woods. The best thing you can do this time of year is put time in on stand or in your ground blind. It can happen at any time of day. It can happen right at daylight. It can happen at 12, 1 o'clock. I killed my biggest deer ever at 1:30 in the afternoon. I'd been in the stand no more than 15 minutes, and he came chasing. A spike came chasing a doe by, and here comes a 135-inch buck. You never know. So every time that you can get out, spend time in the woods. If you've got an entire day off, I highly recommend that you spend the entire day in the woods. Do you have to stay in that one stand? No, you don't have to. If it's a great spot and you know there's deer in the area, I would stay in that stand. If you're not, just get down, go grab something to eat real quick, get right back in the tree. Don't hang around camp. Don't go home and take a nap. You can sleep that night. It gets dark early enough. You should be able to get plenty of sleep. So make sure that when you're going out this fall that you fuel up early. Don't just take a little granola bar and eat it on the way. Get you something good to eat for breakfast. You're going to stay in the stand a lot longer than you are, let's say, you know, opener or rifle, or even during bow season where you're only out the first 2 hours and you only sit the last 2 hours of the evening. You're going to sit all day. You need to make sure you've got plenty of food with you. The easiest way to get cold is obviously not having the right clothing, but not being full. If you sit in the woods and you're just hungry the whole time, number one, you're not going to want to be there. You want to leave to go get some food. Number two is you're going to stay cold. Your body isn't going to be very warm. So make sure you fuel up before daylight. Make sure that you have your setup correct, whether it's your ground blind, whether it's your stand, whether your ladder, lock-on, climber. It doesn't make any difference. Make sure that you have your setup right. Also, you know, try to make sure that the sun's to your back whenever it's coming up in the morning or going down in the evening. It's just not key. I understand that you want to stay warm, so you want to stay in the sun. It's not a key way to kill big deer. It's not a key way to kill any deer, for that matter. When I say big deer, whether it's a big buck or a big doe, a doe is probably going to see you a lot faster than a big buck is. So make sure that you have your setup correct and always have the sun to your back. You'll stay warm as long as you fuel up, but layer up. Make sure that you have your layers. Don't just take a t-shirt and then put a big jacket on. It's not going to work. Sorry. I've tried it many times. You think I'd learn the first time, but I didn't. It took me many years. I always have different layers with me before I leave the house. I take a wool t-shirt. I'll also take a wool long sleeve shirt. Then I'll take a thermal fleece shirt to put on. I like to stay with wool against my skin. It seems to really wick the moisture a lot better than the fleece does. But I do like to have all these different layers. So when I do get to my spot, I can kind of see what the wind is, what the temperature is, and I can make my decision from there what I want to wear. I don't have to make the call and just put a couple of items in the truck and in my box before I head out. I take a lot of different stuff. I check the weather that week, and I kind of plan my week out. I put my items in my scent-free bag, and I put them in a scent-free box as well. It's helped me out. It's helped me really stay warm, and it's helped me stay in the woods a lot longer. I remember back in the day, I used to get out of the woods a lot earlier, mainly because I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't know how to stay warm. So make sure that you layer up and that you are prepared this fall. It's going to be key to your success. I know that we're going to go ahead and we're going to do the Medal of Honor tribute here.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
This week's Medal of Honor is going to Tom Hudner, and this is the story. While attempting to rescue a fellow pilot whose plane was hit by anti-aircraft fire and was forced down behind enemy lines, Lieutenant Hudner quickly maneuvered to circle the downed pilot and protect him from enemy troops infesting the area. Lieutenant Hudner risked his life to save the injured flyer who was trapped alive in the burning wreckage. Fully aware of the extreme danger in landing on rough mountainous terrain and the scant hope of escape or survival in sub-zero temperature, he put his plane down skillfully in a deliberate wheels-up landing in presence of enemy troops. With his bare hands, he packed the fuselage with snow to keep the flames away from the pilot and struggled to pull him free. Unsuccessful in this, he returned to his crashed aircraft and radioed other airborne planes, requesting that a helicopter be dispatched with an axe and fire extinguisher. He then remained on the spot despite the continuing danger from enemy action, and the assistance of the rescue pilot renewed a desperate but unavailing battle against time, cold, and flames. Lieutenant Hudner's exceptionally valiant action and selfless devotion to a shipmate sustain and enhance the highest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service. Tom Hudner died last Monday, November 13th, 2017. So that right there just goes to show you how brave all of our men and women and armed forces are, and we appreciate them every day. I know that we've covered some stuff this morning. We've covered a few small tips that'll help you out, a couple of different things that'll help you stay warm, a couple of things that'll help you understand what you're seeing in the woods and what you're doing when it comes to calling in the woods. Staying warm really starts out with eating right, fueling up early, layering up with the correct clothing, taking many different types of clothing, wearing the right boots, wearing boots that are a size or two larger than you typically would wear. Gives you a little more room to wear the correct wool socks. Make sure you keep your head warm. Make sure that you insulate your stand seems to be living in a stand, in a box stand. Make sure that your stand is properly prepared. If you do all of these things, you will be comfortable and you will have success this fall. We'll cover a few more tips when we come back. You're listening to Real Tree Radio, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Good morning, boys and girls. You're listening to O'Neill Outside Real Tree Radio. My name is Dakota Russell. I've been filling in for O'Neill this weekend. O'Neill and Woman Williams have been out of town. We've been covering a lot of different deer hunting tips, a lot of tactics that you can use, some really helpful tips to just help you stay warm this fall. A lot of times you forget about these little simple things that will cause you to be really cold and get out of the woods too early. So it's not a good way to kill anything if you get out of the woods. Be sure that you wear your safety harness from the ground all the way to where you're going to be sitting in your stand. Use a lifeline system. If you don't use a lifeline system, all of the tips we've covered today are useless. They're just that useless. Always wear your safety harness. Every stand comes with one. There's no excuse. Make sure that you tune in to O'Neill Outside Television this week. You can catch us on Pursuit Network, on Fox Sports Southeast, Fox Sports Sun, Fox Sports Arizona, as well as the Hunt Channel. This week, you'll catch O'Neill and the Wounded Warriors at Burnt Pine Plantation. They're at Burnt Pine doing some quail hunting. They're enjoying themselves there. I've been there many times. I've enjoyed myself there. If you're in the Atlanta area, give it a try. Give them a call and head over there. Simple half-day hunt. You can even stay the night at the lodge. It's a great place. The show's been brought to you by Tough Shed, Stripling's General Store, CVA Muzzleloaders, Realtree Camouflage, Hayes Dealerships, FireAid 2000, FireAid Enforcer, as well as Conus Optics. I've really enjoyed being here. I've really enjoyed covering a lot of the stuff today. I wish we could have covered some more stuff. I would always like to share any tip that I can and any tip that's worked well for me with you. Always call us and let us know what's worked for you. O'Neill will be back with you next weekend, but make sure that you go this week to Realtree.com/O'Neill Outside and enter for the Realtree Radio Santa Claus prize package. It's quite the package. You'll really enjoy it, and it'll have all types of items that you'll enjoy, whether it's the CVA muzzleloader, the camouflage hat, and a little bit of everything in between. I've enjoyed being here, and y'all have a safe weekend, and good luck on the river.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.